Welcome, everyone, to the blessings of Christ on this lovely August day, the 9th, 2020. Every day we move through this year, I think we discover more about ourselves and the world we live in, and I think that we're being called to mindfulness and awareness. But this is a time right now where you should just set aside your worries. Set aside all your questions, because not all of them come with answers immediately. What we have to do is open ourselves to receiving. And sometimes that receiving is more than just the food we need to eat, the friendship calls we need to have, the paycheck we need to receive. Sometimes that state of receiving requires it to accommodate a new perspective on life. There have been more than one wise person who has said, if you expect to see or understand anything new, you've got to open the door to your life wider than it's ever been. We are in a time where we're busy closing doors and closing windows and wondering why we don't have answers. Well, it's contradictory to life. Now, certainly there are times when we need to close our doors and windows, perhaps even shutter our windows. I've been through some of those situations down here on the south coast of Texas with hurricanes coming. We've all been through that this year, protecting ourselves from the coronavirus, wearing masks and gloves, whatever other protective gear we need to keep ourselves physically safe. But that doesn't mean we have to live our life in a state of fear, anger, defensiveness, protest, objection, and with all closed doors to thinking. The coronavirus is not contagious through thinking, but I'll tell you what is contagious, and that's fear. I'll tell you another thing that's contagious, and that's anger. And neither fear nor anger ever solve the problem. Never, never. They both have the ability to stop a disaster. You see a hazard coming your way. Well, fear activates your body, mind, soul, and spirit into the necessary action. You see something happening that's very dangerous. Anger activates all of the body, mind, soul, spirit necessary to stop it. But stopping and defending do not solve. There are no constructive answers in fear and anger. And I'm sorry to tell you, but many people live in a chronic state of fear and anger. And they've been there since they were children. They were perhaps abused children. Perhaps their families lived near the edge of survival. They worried about where their next meal would be. And then we judge these challenged people for why they can't solve problems. My dearest friend, nobody is going to solve problems when they're in a state of chronic fear and anger. And maybe this is something we in privileged America need to learn so that we can assist others in the world being beyond fear and anger on a chronic level so that they can start solving their own problems. And they will. There is no one on this earth who is not a child of God. There is no one on this earth who was brought here not to make some wonderful, profound, an important contribution. but they can't do it when they're locked into fear and anger. It's impossible. It's like wearing a body cast over your whole body, mind, and being. That's what it's like. And they're not going to do it. They can't do anything that way. They're literally immobilized. So I would like to dedicate this blessing and many future blessings to lifting people to a level where they rise above the contamination of fear and anger. Let me just tell you something kind of anecdotal, but it's based on real people I've talked with, real stories I've read, real knowledge I have and have researched. And that is at the highest level of consciousness. There is no fear. At the highest level of consciousness, there is no anger. Not even if someone was coming at you with a hatchet to cut your throat off, you wouldn't respond with anger. You would find some way to startle the person with your admiration, respect, agility of movement, unexpected forgiveness before the act, unconditional love, any number of things that would just catch him off guard, and instead of hitting you, he would hit the tree. I'm really quite serious about that. And many of the martial arts, you would think they would be involved with reactions to anger and fear. They're not. They know they cannot perform those motions if they're in a state of anger and fear. They have to move to a power level that is above all human negative emotions. So yeah, we can even fight above anger and fear. But what we can't do in anger and fear is anything constructive. Nothing. You can't do, there are no problems solved there. When Columbus was crossing the ocean, he, his ships, and the men aboard had a very hard time. They were very sick and depressed and ready to give up, ready to just commit suicide by drowning, jumping off the boat. But he encouraged them, just hold on. Just hold on. And thank God, in a couple of days, they sighted land. The minute they sighted land, their sickness was gone. Their depression was gone. Their ability to bring the boat into shore came fully into place, into gear. Okay? So my friends, this is what faith can do. This is what hope can do. It can change the game. Totally. Totally. And this is what we have to be communicating to each other, because it will take us to a level above this virus. There are forces in our world that are exploiting our fear and our anger. They're exploiting it in order to manipulate us into a place where we can't do anything about the life we're living. Because if we can't do anything about the life we're living, guess who will? Sounds a lot like the days in pre-World War II Germany, where people were manipulated into racial hatred and fear of bankers and fear of just about everything and anger of everything they were afraid of. And you wonder, how could such a brilliant people be so manipulated? All you have to do is get them into fear and anger first. We wonder what we look at emerging nations and we see each one of those producing brilliant leaders, brilliant creators, brilliant fashion designers, film directors, scientists, writers, teachers, musicians, after they leave those countries. Why couldn't they do it there? I'm giving you the answer. We can be literally stripped of our ability if you make the climate of fear and anger big enough. This is something, you know, we really do need to obey the law. We really do need to obey the recommendations of health safety. And the unenforced rituals of courtesy and just kindness and good behavior. Of course, we need to keep doing all of those things until the urgency is passed. We don't have to stay in a condition of fear and anger. We don't. And you could do something about it in your own family, in your own neighborhood, in your own community. And if you're on social media and someone just is consistently in that, unfriend them. Get them out of your world. They'll figure it out. You can't talk them out of it. You can't. They'll come back at you with anger. You just don't talk to them anymore until they're behaving, because this is a major misconduct, major misbehavior that damages the world more than almost anyone can imagine. So now we're going to turn our climate today into the one that Yeshua brought to the earth. He said, if you have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, come here. Or as we would say today, come here, baby. And it would come. It would come. You could say to an illness, be gone. And it would leave. But actually, if you note in the Bible, before he performed any miracle, he asked if a person wanted to be healed. Because he would engage their positive intention. Their positive intention. Not their cry for help. Do you want to be healed? And then he would just be silent with them. And from that silence, they would rise. Okay. Everybody. Is there, Tony, I see you're on board. Hello, your line is open.
Thanks, Glenda. Hi. Wonderful to be here. Thank you very much for being here and sharing your message. You know, I feel it's extremely helpful. And this has been an emphasis that you've given us for months, and it's been a real emphasis on the prayer call, too. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to everybody.
I hope I'm not overdoing it, Tony. But when I go out in town, I just get the idea this message can't be overdone.
Yeah, and, no, I think you're right.
And you get on social media, and you know it can't be overdone.
Yeah.
You watch the news, and, oh, my Lord. Okay, but we're here together for all the right reasons, for love, for faith, for certainty that a better future is on the way, better than we could ever imagine.
Well, I love that. That's certainly one of the most uplifting things that Yeshua has to tell us. And for thousands of years, this is something that he's been giving us. He's been giving us the energy of it. And it's something that we have the ability to sense and to resonate with. This message, in a very complimentary way, has come to me a number of times over the last couple of months. And it's very simple the way it's presented itself, but it seems to be very helpful. So I'll just share this little phrase, this little message.
Sure.
The reality of heaven is the love of God. And the thing that strikes me about that is that whatever way in which we are experiencing the connection with heaven, the connection with peace, a sense of awareness of this message and presence of Yeshua, the consciousness that comes to us through our blessing calls and through Love Without End, and through your paintings, you know, certainly First Light and especially The Lamb and the Lion, that vibration is the vibration of the reality of heaven. And it seems to me that what Spirit is telling us is that when we pay attention to that, when we focus upon that, we are actively amplifying the love of God.
Yeah.
We have that capability.
Absolutely. We do. And that's how we bring heaven to earth. The whole idea of prayer is not so much the word. This is what Yeshua was so frustrated with, teaching the apostles. They kept asking him, Master, what do we say when we pray? And he wouldn't answer. Again, what do we say when we pray? And he wouldn't answer. He wanted them to get that prayer is not work. Finally, he gave them a prayer that gives them the vibration you're talking about. And that vibration is the whole essence of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to be with God. God knows everything you need already. And he knows how to solve it. But he can only help you in partnership with you, which means you've got to make the connection. And that's what prayer is all about. You making the connection with God. You make the connection with God, you move into a partnership. And that partnership, just like any other partnership you will ever be in, has its steps and its processes. You start a process. Let's just say you start a partnership with the neighbors to improve the neighborhood. You're not going to finish that overnight. You might just start with a plan. And then that plan could actually just involve getting a new street sign. A very simple beginning, but at least packages won't get lost. You know, people looking for you will find a way. And then it goes from there to eventually when you improve the neighborhood enough, you'll be able to implore the city to come in and put a little new asphalt down on the street. And the job is done. You see, every partnership has its steps. And you might be saying to Glenda, well, but when Yeshua healed somebody, he healed them completely. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no. He said to one, stand up, walk, and now go make amends with your brother.
Hmm.
Okay? Another one, he said, you are healed. Now go and sin no more. All right?
Hmm.
And he said to Lazarus, welcome home, brother. He didn't say, Lazarus, you don't have to do any more. You're here on earth and it's all heaven now. He started the process of rebuilding. And to every one of them, he said, your faith has made you whole. So he activated their faith. He made them whole. And then he set them forth into continuing the process. But he did reinforce two things. One is act as if you are whole, because you are. And the other is proceed with faith, because it's the only thing that's going to get the rest of the job done. So thank you, Tony. And everything that you inspired me to say, which I conveyed from a higher place about prayer, because people don't worry about the words you pray. It's not in the words. Some people sing. And it's enough. It's enough to first just be in that place where you feel you're with God. Say thank you. And then envision that which you would like to have. Your Heavenly Father receives that vision. And he receives that vision as a fact of completion. That's better than going over and over words. Oh, dear Lord, I really don't understand why so-and-so didn't help me. And I tried so hard over here, and I tried so hard over there. And he's going, of course, he can't say, oh, my God. You know, he's busy saying, oh, my child, if you could just be quiet. Be quiet and have faith. But that's the essence. That the essence of prayer is the energy you spoke about. Mm-hmm. The resonance with heaven that takes us up and brings heaven down a little bit, sort of like we meet in the middle somewhere. And maybe if we only meet 2 inches above the earth, that's good enough to get the job done. Because it starts the process.
It's like what you're saying, too. It's been communicated to me in some of these experiences that the invitation that God is so ready to come, but God is so respectful of us that God's presence and action requires our heartfelt invitation. And so I feel that that's what our concentration and our attentiveness to this energy also helps us to do, as well as just simply directly inviting God's presence in action. So that's a huge lesson, I feel.
Absolutely. And I can give you a sweet little anecdote. Okay. I have, for the last few months, I've been the new mom of a little kitten. And he's just about to turn 5 months old, adorable, just sweet as cotton candy. And he tries to do things, and he'll fall and get up and fall and get up. And I had this urge to help him. But my better instincts and my higher love doesn't want to interfere. I really want him, number one, to get the strength to do it himself, and then number two, to be so proud of himself when he does it. And that's the greater love. You're a parent, Tony. You know how that feels.
Yeah, exactly. And your heart.
Every parent knows how that feels.
Yeah.
And, you know, our Heavenly Father is not going to prematurely intervene. But even with my little kitten, if he falls down, if he looks over at me and meows, I'll go pick him up and put him up there.
Yeah.
Isn't that just normal instinct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we were created in the image of God, can we expect our Heavenly Father to act any differently?
Yeah.
He doesn't let us fall so that we can be hurt. And if we ask for help, he'll come and help us. But you need to ask. Because as long as he thinks you want the growth, you need the struggle, and you deserve the glory, he'll stay back. So it's not just about our respect for him. It's also about his respect for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could have taken Yeshua away from the crucifixion. Are you kidding? His most beloved? And you think he wouldn't have just swooped three angels down to lift him up? I mean, really? You think he wouldn't? But he wanted Yeshua to have the glory. He did not want to take the glory away from him. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take a few more on the call because we've been talking for a long time, Tony, and I just love our conversations. But I want to open the line to Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, dear. I'm just really happy to be here today. There have been so many years past where I haven't, and I've been listening in more recently. And I just love this message today, and I'm so thankful for it. I have to say, I recall this being a primary teaching, from my childhood, but also, I'd say about 12, 14 years ago when I was really working more, in this ministry. And I'm thankful. I just want to send a prayer for you and Dad, and with all my love.
Oh, thank you so much. For those of you who have not had the pleasure of meeting Alicia, she's Larry's daughter. I hope you don't mind that I said that, Alicia.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
I wasn't going to until you asked for a prayer for me and Dad. So,
yeah.
So, you see, that's a good example. I was going to keep my mouth shut. Open the door.
Right on today is really what we need. We need this message more than ever. Thank you.
We do. We need to respect one another in every regard. In every regard. And we need to respect that people have a right to get angry when they've been abused or forgotten or frightened when they're being neglected or hurt. But we got to help them get out of those emotions. Because there's no solution there. There is no solution there. There really isn't.
Yeah, and there's a fair amount of further shame and blame that goes on, I think, when people can't then forgive themselves once they've calmed down. And
I know.
We've all been there.
It's true. We have a lot of... ethnic problems to deal. It's ironic, everybody, that in this country, supposedly the melting pot of the world, the land of the free, we actually have more ethnic problems than exist globally. Three of my very best friends are black, but they weren't born in America, and they have none of these issues. They have no shame. They have no feeling of abuse. They have self-confidence and a sense of pride and self-worth and creativity that has never been touched by a feeling of being second in line. So what we're dealing with in this country, and we're going to have to come to terms with it. It's really not about color. It's about abuse. It really is. It's about generations of shame, abuse, and feeling a lack of self-worth. And that kicks up. Then, on the other hand, we've got to weed out some narcissism that has embedded itself in the leading components of our country, because that's not acceptable conduct either. We have some psychological problems to deal with in this country that have absolutely nothing to do with color, race, or ethnicity. And we're going to have to face that. Because That's where the healing is going to come. And in my opinion, there's no accident. We're having the worst time of the illness of any country in the world because we've got the most psychological problems of any country in the world. We have everything from massive self-deprecation, lack of self-worth on the part of so many, to unbelievable narcissism. And to some degree, Hollywood helped to finance and create that. And our billion dollar salaries for athletes. Really? They're worth it, but really? The narcissism that's come from hero worship, glamour worship, leadership worship. We have gone from one extreme to the other with every conceivable psychological problem in between. And then we try to treat those psychological problems with chemicals. Okay, my friends, it's not going to work. I'm sorry if this has been a hard lesson, but we're not going to chemically solve the problems of everybody in between when we've got those two extreme factions keeping us into a polarized fight. And I had to say that, but I'm done now. I'm happy. I'm going to laugh because really, I think it's so hilarious that we're going to have to all stand in the rain and let it wash the mud off our face because we never got it right. But it's okay. We're still, I said, even with all this, I would still choose this country over any in the world. And I love the people of this country with all my heart. So it wasn't meant as a deep criticism. It was just meant as a come to Jesus kind of thing. we got to come to the altar and confess our sins, but they're not what we thought they were. Our sins in this country are very different than we thought they were. And that's why they're not going away. The minute you look at a problem, it starts going away. The minute you confess a sin, it starts going away. The minute you look truly at an illness, it starts healing. Okay? Well, Alicia, it has just been a loving experience to be with you and on the call, and I hope you'll be with us more often.
Thank you.
Mara, my dearest friend, you're on.
Who did you say?
Mara.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed a couple of the syllables. I'm calling out of gratitude for two things. I requested several months ago, maybe even a half a year ago, I'm not sure, but anyway, prayers for my daughter-in-law, who had breast cancer, and I am very grateful to let you all know that she is coming out of it absolutely beautifully. And she and her husband, my son, have been very, very positive about the outcome.
And
she's doing so well. And the second thing I want to thank you for is your persistent graciousness, Glenda, in responding to all of our needs and our longings to learn more and higher things. You do a beautiful job, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means more to me than you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Iman, you're on.
Hello. Aloha. Hi, Brenda and everybody. Thank you for your presence. I really enjoyed what you were talking about earlier. I pray all day. I pray all day. I go into the state of your awareness as much as I can, and I send as much love and just universal love to all humanity everywhere, regardless of anything else. Because if we can see ourselves as being one family, one human family, despite the skin color and the... But it's beautiful. I mean, our culture, being different is beautiful. I think we can switch it over, like, from shame and unworthiness or whatever, and turn that into celebration. Like, what if we celebrate each other's unique cultures, unique colors, unique abilities, unique love imprints? Like, I think that's what I would love to see the world become, a place where we celebrate,
yes,
where we honor each other for our uniqueness, because that's what Matthew Fletcher taught us, that love is unique, that there's no
super
alike.
Love should be our
heroes. Yeah, and I just wanted to say that what we're facing right now, I think underneath it all, it's not a racial injustice, but rather an economic injustice. I think it's an economic injustice because you can have a person who's black and do very well in society, be respected by all cultures, like Oprah, because she's successful and she has high economic qualities. So I'm just saying that I think what we all, the world needs right now is to look at how we can attain economic justice. Economic justice is what is going to make everybody happier and just more, more content with living life here on Earth. I think we can, distribute economics in a way that benefits everybody and that everybody has the basic necessities of life. Because everybody, I think it's the right thing.
Yeah, you certainly have an important message. Iman, I'm going to cut it short, though, because I can barely hear you. And I'm thinking probably no one else can hear you well enough to really listen to your important message. I can sort of pick out the pieces here and there.
Oh, I'm breaking up. Okay. I love you, and everybody's in my prayers.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We've still got a lot of people on the call, and we need to get on to our blessing, but I'm going to open lines for, not for further study discussion, but just to ask for prayer, so that everybody who needs to ask for a prayer for themselves or anyone else is heard, okay? We have a caller from area code 438. I think it's Ryan Little. I can't read your name clearly, but you're on.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know if it was me or not. I had a question, but it's not for a blessing. It was a question about the Our Father, so I didn't know if I should ask it after what you just said.
Well, can you come back next week?
Yeah, sure. I'll ask it next week. Thanks, Glenda.
Okay, good. I think we've used up our time for discussion today.
Yeah.
So we just need to get set up for our blessing. Okay. So I look forward. What is your name Brian?
No. I had to use somebody else's phone.
Oh, okay.
My name is Stephen.
Is what?
Stephen.
Oh, Stephen. Okay. All right. Well, Stephen, I'll look for you next week. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And Eva, your line is open for a prayer request.
Yes, I had sent out an email blast a little while ago for my son-in-law, who is, he just came through this week, a week of chemo, and of course has some side effects. We were hoping that something could be done without the chemo, but he chose that way. And so I would like further blessings for him and his family. We feel like he's going to be fine, but it's a rough road. And he's certainly getting some blessings, and he'll still be on his job, which, of course, he was in this past week because he had to go every day. But he will supposedly go back. He's scheduled to go back to work tomorrow. I don't know how that's going to work because he doesn't have an easy job. And so I can use blessings, and I would appreciate that. And
what's
then
his
also,
name?
Paul.
Paul, okay.
Yes, Paul. And a healthcare provider texted my daughter and gave a wonderful affirmation to say, I see rivers of life flowing through Paul's body and transforming anything that is unhealthy. And we thought that was great. So that's what we like to bless for him, that everything toxic will be removed and he will maintain and gain again his former style of being right with the world and all is well. And one other blessing is next week I will be traveling cross-country to see my granddaughter who's in Washington State. So that's going to be quite an adventure for me. And, of course, we weren't sure how things were going to go because of COVID. So it's a little bit different planning than under the normal kinds of circumstances. So I would like to ask a blessing for our trip. That will be my younger daughter and her husband and her son and myself. So thank you.
That's a happy blessing. Yeah.
Yes. It's like, you know, after not having been able to travel or do much of getting out anywhere for a long time, it was almost scary to even think of doing that. I'm getting used to the idea and thinking, okay, you know, this is my new freedom. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I've never been all the way out to the West Coast before, so that should be interesting.
Oh, that'll be nice for you.
Hope to get to see the Pacific. Which I've been to the Atlantic many times, but never saw the Pacific except in pictures. So,
okay. Well, God bless you, and have a happy trip.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, too. Okay, quickly, Sarah, request for a blessing.
Aloha, Glenda, and I'd like to ask for a blessing for myself. Thank you so much.
All right, Sarah. You're frequently, I make up a list every day, and you're frequently on it because I know you're open to it. That's the key, is just to be open to it. Okay, moving on. Susan, what would you like to ask for blessing?
Okay, oh my gosh. Just, I want to thank you for everything you said. It was powerful. I feel like you stepped out. I think it's wonderful that, you know, that you, Larry's daughter came on. It just fills me. I wasn't going to say anything. I'll just say quick love to you. You can give me a blessing while you're at it. Love you. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
I did it real
Susan.
fast.
Yeah, you did, and you're on the list, Susan. Okay. Now, let's see if Desmond can do it fast.
Hi, Glenda. Extraordinary call, and it was nice to hear your voice, Alicia. And as you know, I am in the hospital still, and I've been through quite a traumatic experience here, but I'm learning and developing and growing through tough love, as you know. And I'm finding a place. I found a place to live. And my family's helping me, even though my family had abused me and kicked me out of their house. They're helping me to get to Stony Plain, the little town that I'm from, and helping me get an apartment. So I'm not going to live in a hermitage anymore for the last 5 years like I have been in the woods, in the forest, on the lake, in the village that I grew up in. But I'm going to be in the town in a hurting, really cheap apartment that I can afford. And I'm going to be trying to not be a hermit anymore and start to socialize. And I guess that's what I've been doing now that I've been in the hospital. And the doctors are all fine with me because I follow all the rules. But they've been really pushy with their drugs. And I've been really pushy, like, don't bother me with your drugs and shit. And they're trying to you know, I loved your call about everything that you said about everything, like from Christopher Columbus to talking about psychology and the light and the dark, or the polarity of the left and the right, or however you are putting it. And your whole message was a blessing, just because I follow your thoughts and I feel aligned with the intelligence of your thought. And when you had said that one thing about Yeshua choosing the glory of of the crucifixion. I don't know. He sweat blood trying to stop it, Glenda.
No, I didn't say it that way.
I know that he did not call on the angels to intervene because he didn't, and neither did Anastasia.
Okay. Desmond, you're making me rise. I thought you wouldn't be able to be short. We've got protective.
Well, anyways, I'm done.
We're going to offer blessings for you and for your new life, for you being in your apartment, and for everything going well, better than you ever thought it could. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah. Now, Stormy, let's see how fast you can be.
Glenda has been working on this prayer every night from Monday through Friday for the prayer nights. It is a blessing for the silence where I hear everything, yet nothing is said.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Well, shall we offer a blessing that you are even more fulfilled in that quest?
Yes.
Okay.
Gladly, I would receive you.
All right. Very good. Okay. My loving community, my family, let's get ready to receive a blessing. I hope that everything we have said and shared has helped you to open the doors and the windows of your life even wider than they were before you came, and that you could be in a state of expectation, generosity, tolerance, forgiveness, and just seeing the best in all potential. So just get comfortable in your chair or your recliner, your bed, wherever you are. Maybe some of you are sitting on the ground. Hey, that's in summertime and good weather. That's a great place to be for the blessing, because the energies come from the heaven to the earth and back from the earth up through you. Just don't have your body parts crossed, okay? Because energy, whatever kind of energy it is, comes in two flows. It comes in one flow that then reverses into another flow. This is actually how we get into polarity if we mismanage this. And it's something that we do need to master. It's actually one of the first things that practitioners of the martial arts are taught how to master, how to keep the energy flows from crossing until they're ready for them to cross. Okay. So much for that. We're back to heaven now. Let's just be here, relaxed. But I needed to talk about energy because it's all energy. From heaven to earth, it's all energy. We're going to be bringing in a very high frequency. And it will pass through your body, through your head, through your heart, down into the earth, and back up into your heart, and up to heaven. The only place it should cross over, if it chooses to do so, is in your heart. And it chooses to do that when perhaps something in your heart needs to be reflected or perhaps changed in perspective. But it may or may not cross over. It definitely comes through both times, up and down. So let it do its thing. The main thing it will do is remove debris and toxins, negativity. It will tend to smooth out rough edges of larger scale energy that was not quite in harmony or maybe moved into conflict. And that in itself is a blessing. Kind of like getting a spiritual massage. But then above that, way beyond that, it opens your life up to the blessings of God. And they will be given for you to activate in times and places when it's appropriate, when it's ready, when it's relevant. It may happen all at once. It may happen over a period of days. And it may come from other people, because the blessing that flows through you is not limited to you. Just like I'm a receiver, this blessing doesn't come from me. I'm a receiver. I'm a conductor of it. It just comes through me and pours on out to the world. And then it comes back for me to recollect those energies and send them back up. And back and forth it goes. So we will begin with my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy for about 3 minutes. Then you will go rest and just receive. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for choosing us and for putting yourself in a way to be our brother, to walk with us as a human being with sandals on the road and a need for food, with understanding of everything we go through, and realization of everything we need to learn or know. We ask to be with us to comfort us when we're not feeling so good about life. We ask that you be with those we love. When they're not accepting love from us, we hope they will accept love from you. When we don't know how to offer you, we pray that you will. When we don't know how to offer food or greater prosperity, we pray that you will show them the way. We pray that you will bring our human community into closer understanding and harmony, cooperation, and creativity, that we may learn truly that we are children of God and therefore bring heaven to earth. In your precious name we ask these things. Amen. Blessing givers, please join me. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and rest. Don't think. Don't engage your mind. Because the blackboard belongs to God. Let God write upon it. Okay? And then in the next few days, watch and see how your blessings are answered or fulfilled. Bye-bye from me. Have a wonderful week. May God be with you.